All right, everybody, welcome to our Bible Fellowship this morning. Good to see everybody. I wanted to introduce to you John Stavropoulos and his wife back here, Elise, and their daughters in with the kiddos, Eloise. But I'm going to read a little thing that John sent me, and I wanted you to hear about some of his history and his wife's. But anyway, they're our newest foreign missionaries that we're supporting. And they're in Chihuahua, Mexico. They both grew up in Christian homes, were saved at an early age. They met at New Tribes Bible Institute in Michigan, in Jackson, Michigan. And they were married in 2012. And their daughter, Eloise, was born in Mexico, and she's almost 5 years old. She's, I think, 3 days short of five? Yeah, okay. And listen to this. They've served together for 14 years in Mozambique, Tanzania, South Africa, and Mexico. All right? John was born in Swaziland, that's east of South Africa. All right? And so... And by the way, if you're asking, his last name is Greek. All right, you know on ABC News, George Stephanopoulos, you know George Stephanopoulos?
Yeah.
All right, that's Greek. All right, and so nonetheless, they serve in Chihuahua, Mexico. They evangelize the lost, as well as equip the saints through the teaching of God's Word. Obviously, John's got Bible studies going, and it's really awesome what they're doing. They also have produced children's materials. And John sent me the PDF of them in English. He's got them in English and in Spanish, okay? And terrific. And page after page of pictures and scriptures and just awesome. And so, all right. They're also, they also enjoy hiking, picnicking, playing games together, and spending time with their dog, Toby, who is what kind of dog?
A mutt.
A mutt. Their dog, Toby the mutt. And you have one too?
No, I'm familiar with that breed.
Oh, you're familiar. Okay. All right, well, let's give them all a warm welcome.
Well, thank you so much for the introduction. It's a real joy to be with you here this morning and to share what the Lord is doing in our lives and our ministry. My wife and I, we both grew up in Christian homes and believed in Jesus at a young age, and the Lord has taken us on quite a journey since then. I was born in Swaziland, and our last name, Stavropoulos, is Greek. My great-grandfather came from Greece to Africa, and then he married a South African, so... We're stuck with a Greek name, but we don't speak Greek. We have the privilege of serving the Lord in Mexico, and we enjoy spending time.
Is it turned on, that side button?
There we go. Yeah, we enjoy spending time with our dog, Toby. Toby, we adopted him from El Paso, and we enjoy doing things together. The Lord has given us lots of opportunity for training along the way. I studied intercultural ministries in the U.S., in Missouri, and my wife did her intercultural ministry studies in Canada. And we became missionaries. Well, I became a missionary in 2010, and then Elise in 2012, and since getting married in 2012, we served in Mozambique, Tanzania, South Africa, and now Mexico. So we spent some time learning Portuguese, Swahili, and some Ngoni, and Spanish. And after 12 years with ethnos or new tribes mission, then we joined Equip Canada in 2024. Today we serve in Chihuahua, Mexico, and our mission is for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry and to build up the body of Christ. Before people can be equipped, they first need life, and that's why we're passionate about sharing the saving message that Jesus gives everlasting life as a free gift to everyone who believes in Him for it. As Jesus says in John 6:47, whoever believes in me has everlasting life. So really what we do flows from those two goals: evangelism, helping people believe in Jesus for life, and equipping, helping believers grow and study the Bible. With evangelism, it's a challenging thing. In Chihuahua, most people are Catholic, and schedules don't always line up easily, so we're looking at how we can build relationships with people that we can have spiritual conversations with. We've been focusing on building friendships with people, putting ourselves in places where we can meet people, and let me just share a few ways we're working on this. One is the gym. There's a gym near our home we've been going to, and also we like going hiking. And it's just showing up consistently that creates that familiarity, recognizing people, greeting them, having a few conversations here and there. Elise has also got a few ladies' numbers from the gym, and it's still early, but we're building connections and getting to know people, build trust with them. And then hiking is a way that we can meet other people and hopefully invite people over for a meal or eventually share truth with them. And then the local parks, we always go to the park, take Toby for a walk, take Eloise to go play and meet the other kids, and she is not shy to use her Spanish, and she'll run up to the kids and say, ¿Quieres ser mi amiga? Or do you want to be my friend? Do you want to play? And no problem. And so we've been able to meet people there and exchange a few numbers and have some opportunities to talk to people and hopefully be able to share the saving message with them. Teaching English. In Mexico, a lot of people want to learn English. That's a huge open door. We've been teaching some English this year and been brainstorming how we can be more, use it as an evangelistic opportunity and maybe host people for conversation or coffee and board games and just different ideas. I've also been teaching at a school called Vocablo, where the person in charge is, he's a Wiccan, so like a witchcraft person, and I'll go teach at his school, and then the students ask me questions, and they're like, oh, you teach the Bible, you believe the Bible? Yeah, I believe the Bible, tell me about that. And I like to take him out for a meal afterwards, and sometimes he'll say, no, next time I'll take you out, and so we're able to build a friendship that way. And then reaching neighbors. At Christmas, Elise and Eloise bake cookies and deliver them to the neighbors. It's a simple thing, but it creates a meaningful connection, and small things like that can sometimes lead to deeper conversations, and we try to make an effort when we walk by our neighbors to greet them and stop and chat with them, and hopefully the relationships will grow over time. One of our goals is to grow in hospitality and invite people over for pancakes or coffee or tea, something informal, and just share life together. And over time, we would like to see those relationships grow where we can maybe read the Gospel of John together or invite them for a Bible study. And we're praying for opportunities in our neighborhood and trusting God with those to focus on just a few things. With equipping believers, we have a Facebook page in Spanish that it's called Habita en la Palabra, which is Abide in the Word. And a lady contacted us through that. We put blogs from the Grace Evangelical Society, we put them on there, and the lady had been reading them in Spanish, and I said we're going to have a Bible study on Zoom, and she was from Argentina, and then she invited her husband to come on the Zoom, and then he started inviting his friends, his dad comes, and sometimes he's had his mom and some other friends, and then we've had people from Bolivia join us. So we started with the Gospel of John, focusing on the eight signs in the Gospel of John that point to Jesus offering eternal life. And then we went through the epistles of John, and now we're doing Romans verse by verse every Thursday night. It's just an hour long. We go through the thing, and then people ask questions afterwards, and then we pray for each other. And then once a month we do a hermeneutics class, teaching people how do you study the Bible for yourself, so they're equipped to do that. And one of the key parts of this ministry is we provide the notes in Spanish, and they can use it to teach others. We also know that none of this happens apart from the Lord, as Paul says here in Colossians, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Prayer is essential, and we're growing in praying for people we minister to and teaching others how to pray. We want to develop tools to help believers grow in prayer. So one project I'm hoping to complete is to create a devotional on prayer that can be used in Spanish. In-person encouragement. Most of our ministry so far has been online. It's been difficult to get people to come to us in person for various reasons. People have said, "Well, I already go to my church," or and by their church, it's a church that teaches in works for salvation. So why would I come to your church? You know, or why would I come to your thing? And so that's one challenge, and the other is people's schedules. But ultimately, we would love to see a group of believers meeting regularly, possibly a home fellowship. It's a gradual process, and we're trusting God with the growth of what we sow. It's taking some time, though, building those friendships and the trust with people. And there's, as mentioned, I have this project of the children's books. There's 40 books that go from Genesis to Revelation with the story of redemption and how Jesus offers life. And we have them in English and Spanish. And the goal is to give them out for free. They're royalty-free pictures. They're not... There's no copyright on them, and our heart is to help children understand God's word clearly from a young age, so they can have assurance that they have eternal life, and it's just by believing in Jesus for it. And so, I know, like for my child, there were lots of kids' books with confusing messages, and I would take a Sharpie and scratch it out and put what was true. And so I was like, well, let me just make my own then. And so it started off as a project for my daughter, because there's not much in English where we are. And then I was like, well, let's put this into Spanish, so at least help put that into Spanish. And then there's been some others who've helped they're putting it into Ukrainian and Russian, and there's a couple in Kenya wanting to do it in Swahili. God has been so faithful and we're so thankful. So many things. He's given us everlasting life. He's given us the opportunity to do ministry as a family. We're thankful for friends we've made in Mexico, for his provision and the opportunities to teach his word. Would you please pray for us? We really appreciate your prayers for wisdom in our responsibilities, for our friendships with others, that there would be open doors for evangelism, for strength and endurance as we on this journey trying to reach out and equip people, that many would believe in Jesus for everlasting life, and also for our personal and financial needs. And we want to thank you guys for partnering with us. We thank God for you regularly. Your prayers and support are part of what God is using to bring the message of life to Chihuahua and to equip believers for eternal impact. That's where my presentation ends, but if you have any questions, we're both, Elise and I, are available for questions, or if you want to sign up for our newsletter. We send out a newsletter once a month, and thank you.
I have a question. Are your books available to other people in America?
So right now we haven't published them in printed form, but they're available in a PDF. We can send in a PDF. But we do want to make it in a printable form, yeah.
Yeah. I was wondering, over there, what are the most of the different religions or denominations that you have to struggle with because they come against grace? How many of those, well, which ones do you deal with? Particular denominations?
Okay. So, I would say, let's say 70% are Catholic, 70 plus are Catholic, and they're outright saying you need works for salvation. The rest who are Protestant, if you ask the Protestant churches, there's Baptists, there's Calvary Chapel, there's various ones, but the ones that we've been to, or even the people we've interacted with, give a very confusing message. One day they'll say it's by faith, the next day they'll say, well, if you don't have works, then you're probably not saved, or and then if you ask the neighbors, or whoever, well, what's the difference between your church and the Baptist church, or what's the difference between this denomination and that, and they'll say, well, Catholics have prayed to Mary and the saints, and we don't. So they don't mention, well, the Catholics believe in good works and we don't. The difference is only the praying to the saints and Mary, and they have some extra books in their Bible. But they don't mention a difference between how you get to heaven or how you get saved. They basically both believe you need to do something to get saved. So there really isn't much difference that I see between the Protestant and Catholic when it gets to getting the message. So.
How long have y'all been in Chihuahua?
We arrived in 2021, and
not very long.
Yeah,
5 years.
Yeah, that's longer ago than it used to be.
Yeah.
Have y'all been able to establish any kind of home Bible study, or y'all still just trying to get that cord of people going?
So we haven't started anything in our home yet, besides what we have online.
Okay.
I think, we first went to Mexico with Ethnos, or New Tribes, and then only in the end of 2024 did we part ways with, we tried to go independent. So 2025 was our first year as independent, trying to do our own ministry. And so it's, so we've been in Mexico 5 years, but for the first 4 years, we were with Ethnos.
Doing full-time Spanish study.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, we came to do, we came to Mexico to teach at the New Tribes Bible School, but the New Tribes has put a Calvinist as the director. And so we talked to him and we said, this is what we were, if we come to teach your Bible school, this is what we're going to teach. We're going to teach people believe in Jesus, like for eternal life, and that's it, no repentance, no works. And he said, no, you cannot teach that here. And so we had left our whole life in South Africa and moved to Mexico to teach at the Bible school. Then he told us, you can't teach that here, and you may not be invited on the team even. So we were like, well, now what do we do? And so that's when we just decided, well, we'll just be independent and try and teach on our own. And so, yeah, so we started with online. We're like, well, let's just throw it out there wide. And God provided us, you know, the few couples in Argentina, and we had a guy from Paraguay for a while, and Bolivia. And then, yeah, just working to establish relationships within Chihuahua, within Mexico. And like John said, we've gone to a few churches in the city, but they all are teaching works for salvation, Protestant or Catholic. And so we don't want to now go into a church and start teaching opposite the pastor and cause issues. So we don't, right now we listen to John Nimala on a Sunday afternoon, or we go to Bob Wilkins Sunday School in the morning. To have that, and then the fellowship we have on Thursday nights. But yeah, we're really just praying for people, that God would bring people our way who want truth, and that we can teach them from our home. That's really would be whatever.
I didn't realize that everything had changed so dramatically for y'all. I knew John and I talked a lot when y'all were away from us.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how dramatically y'all's mission focus changed at that time. So y'all really been only doing what you're doing now for like less than 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
John, is Chihuahua fairly, it seems like in my mind it would probably be a fairly big city. Is it a big
yeah,
city?
Yeah, there's about 1 million people in Chihuahua. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a fairly big city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it is, people are very busy, you know, and Mexicans are very family oriented, and I think that's been, we talk to Mexicans like, we're having a hard time making friends. Like, do you know, like, how do you make friends? And they're like, why would I need friends? I have my family, you know, because they have their cousins and their uncles and their, so they're not looking for friends. Or they've all lived in Chihuahua forever, so they already have the friends they've gone to school with. So actually it's funny, the Mexicans who've been deported have been most friendly to us, like talking to us in the park, where are you from? And we lived here in America. And so we got in contact with some of them. But so, and Mexicans are very friendly when you chat, but to have a friendship that is goes on and is reciprocal, that's what we're finding, like, wow, people just don't seem interested in having a continual friendship. So it just takes a lot of effort on our part.
Yeah. We had one Catholic lady, and she was attending, and we were going through the Gospel of John, and everything was going well until we got to the sign about Jesus' death on the cross, and I said, there's a lot of people who believe in his death and burial and resurrection, but they don't believe in his promise of everlasting life, that it's a free gift. And it doesn't come by works. And she said, yeah, I believe that he died for me, but I got to do my part. I got to do my works. And then we were saying, no, it's a free gift. It doesn't work that way. And then she says, no, you're crazy. That's loca. She said to Elise. And then we had her and her husband over for a meal and presented the gospel again, and she's like, no, you guys are crazy. You cannot interpret the Bible for yourself. You need a priest to tell you what it says. And we're like, but the priest could be wrong. Are you going to trust what the priest says, or what God says, or what Jesus said? Like, who are you going to believe, the priest or Jesus? And she's like, well, we follow what the priest says. We don't. you know, who are you to tell me? You're not a priest, you're not a...
Yeah, one time, you remember when we had our, Becky, we had our scouting?
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Oh, yeah.
And apparently there were some Boy Scouts that were part of the group that went to a Catholic church nearby, and they had a medal ceremony where the kids were getting awards and everything, the Boy Scouts. But then they Becky had me speak, and so of course, you know, I told them the good news, and this one Catholic lady, she came up to me and with eyes blazing, but her hang up was John 6 about the whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood. And you know, her thing was, look, if you don't take communion at a Catholic church, you know, then that's the way of eternal life.
Okay.
You have to eat his flesh and drink his blood. For them, you know, they believe in transubstantiation, that when the priest prays over, consecrates, the word they would use, when the priest consecrates the bread and the wine, it mystically and mysteriously actually becomes Christ's body and blood. They actually believe that. They say you're literally not spiritually. They believe literally you're eating his flesh and drinking his blood, even though the elements do not change materially, chemically. And so I talked to her for a good long time, and then about a week or two later I got another letter. It was everything she said to me in the hallway, but in print.
Okay.
And so she let me have it twice. But those are the things that you'll run into. You'll run into people. And of course, again, you know, Catholics' argument is, well, look, this was the original church. This church has been here forever, and so on and so forth. You know what I mean? And they'll say that this was started by the Apostle Peter or by Jesus, and he put his imprimatur on the Apostle Peter, and so on and so forth. Okay, so you have that situation with Catholics, and that's a big argument with them, you know, because. And you know, they'll bring up things like, well, look, most of the world is Catholic. Okay? So you have that argument that, hey, the majority is right. If the most people believe it, that must be the right way. Okay? And so on and so forth. But anyway, that's something that, you know, all around the world, because of Catholicism is in many, many places around the world, and they're battling the same problem. It's good works, the importance of the clergy, having that priest to go to confess your sins to. Uh-huh. You know, they don't believe in who, you know, 1 John 1:9. They believe, well, you got to go to the priest. And then, they're not doing that so they can have fellowship with God. You know, we confess our sins because we want to stay in the light. You know, we want to continue on in the light that we're walking in. They want to confess their sins because that's just one of the many elements a Catholic believes is part of getting a home in heaven forever. Okay, I gotta go to church regularly. I've gotta take communion. Because like when I was growing up, I grew up Catholic. 18 years. And so I'll never forget seeing people. Like I had a Catholic teacher in our Catholic grade school. He was a sixth grade teacher. And it always just blew my mind when I saw him. He's sitting in the church pew and he would always like slump back like he was relaxing, like he wanted to take a nap. But he sat there and he had his arms crossed while everybody was going up, all the kids were going up to take communion. Because we went to church twice a week, Catholic Mass, with the Catholic school. And he just sat back, and it always, I remember him doing that, and it always threw me, why would you do that? Because don't you know that you're going to be in danger if you don't you know, go up there, you know, and I was just a little kid, but even then I was thinking about these things, and so, but that's, man, the devil's very adept at giving people all the wrong reasons, you know. He'll give them a million reasons why they should think they're, or hope that they're going to heaven. And that's what's so sad about it, is that they all, you ask 100 Catholics, are you certain that you'll be with God forever in heaven? And 99.9 of them, there might be one that somewhere along the way somebody evangelized and they really understood, but man, most of the time, they're going to be looking at you like a deer staring into headlights. Because they're like, what? You know, and when I was at the factory I got saved at, and my coworkers were giving me tracts to read and encouraging me. And one guy that he was a dope pusher that had gotten saved 3 months before I did, but he still had hair that went all the way to his belt. This was 1979. A lot of men had long, really long hair. So he had this long hair. He came to me, and he gave me this book written by a Catholic priest who had gotten saved. And he said, Bob, if you read this, I think that you'll get saved. And so, believe it or not, that very night he handed me that book, the factory broke down over here, and we didn't get the parts that we needed, so we had a four-hour break. And I went and read the book behind the factory, and I got saved in the middle of the book. But when I was reading it, and I'm reading scripture practically for the first time, seriously, our Catholic Church was bereft. I mean, they read a gospel, and they read an epistle every Sunday, but it was very short, and until I was four, they were reading it in Latin. Okay? Wow. And the priest did the Mass in Latin. So you're just sitting there, everybody in the whole room, they did the whole service in Latin. And you know, everybody's just sitting there, I can't wait to go home. But anyway, and then there's some people that they would just be like, oh, yes, yes. And they don't even know what they were listening to. They just were in the spiritual group. But anyway, when I was reading that book, and I was seeing scriptures, especially promises of Jesus about eternal life and by Paul, I was just sitting there saying to myself something along the lines of this isn't what they taught. They weren't even teaching me when I was growing up. They weren't even teaching me what Jesus said. Because I was reading. I'm like, that's not what he said. And then Paul, Ephesians 2:8-9 was in that book. I'm like, it's a gift. And you know, man, that book, in the space of 2 hours, you know, it took me from being lost as a 2x4 to having eternal life. And I went back the next night, and before our shift started, all of my fellow Christian workers were standing over there. Out about in my area of the factory, about 20 people. About 10 of them were standing there, and I walked up to them and I said, "Hey guys!" And they all looked at me. I said, "I got saved last night." Man, they went nuts. They threw their helmets in the air, and they were hitting me, and man, right away, this guy named Mike Reno says, "Hey, you got to come to church with me Sunday and get baptized." And I'm like, oh, wait a minute, man. I'm like, go to church, baptize? And he said, "Yeah, man, that's the first thing God wants you to do." I said, "Oh, okay, all right." And he said, I'll even come and pick you up. And that was the clincher. When he said he'd come and get me, I said, "Man, you'll come and get me? Okay, I'll go. And Catherine, this is so funny, when he came and got me on Sunday morning, there was an African-American man in the back seat, and I sat next to him, and I got in the car, and you know, I had pretty long hair, and he had a standard 70s fro. And man, that thing was like 12 inches high, and it was crunched into the roof, okay? It was like, it was hitting the roof inside the car. And he looked at me and he said, "Ooh, look at that head, dude." And I said to him, "Not bad yourself." I'll never forget that. But I got baptized that Sunday, and the day before, oh boy, that was only 4 days after I got saved, but I had an intense Saturday morning with my Catholic family, because we're all sitting around the breakfast table, and I was telling all of them what happened on Wednesday night, and so they were going nuts, okay? Remember like the lady said, you're crazy, okay? Oh man, my older sisters, you're crazy. You know, they're like, then my dad called my cousin who was 15 years older than me, and he heard that she had gotten born again. And hey, Bobby, your cousin Maureen, you know what? She's got like that born again thing like you're talking about. And you know what? I'm going to have you call her. She's still going to the Catholic Church. And so he calls her. Hey, Maureen. Hey, this is Uncle Bill. I got Bobby just said he got this born again stuff. And I heard her on the other line. Hallelujah! She was shouting so loud I could hear it through the telephone. And it wasn't on speaker either. And so he said, Maureen, tell Bobby you're still going to the Catholic Church. What? You're not going to the Catholic Church anymore? Oh, well, here, talk to Bobby anyway. And there we had a great telephone call. But I never went back. Once I went, got baptized, God was just working so powerfully in my life, I'm never going back. Because, hey, listen, once you find the truth and it sets you free, to go back to something you know, I when I was reading that book, I was just sitting there, what I've been taught is a lie, you know? So I just closed that book and knew I was saved and went and told my friends the next night. And it was amazing. But the Catholics, man, they're not easy. They're definitely, you know, Kelly and I went to my mom's cousins one time for a family get-together in Richardson, right? You know, same city we lived in. But they were staunch Catholics, in fact, very wealthy. He had an audience with the Pope one time. I mean, he was a mover and a shaker. And one of my uncles, there was a table, like three of these tables, surrounded by my mom's cousins, my aunts, uncles, but not the owner of the home. That guy that went and saw the Pope, he was standing off in the corner. And one of my uncles said, hey, Bobby, we heard that you're a preacher, like you've been preaching a long time now. And he said, tell us how this all happened. Thank you very much. I've got all these relatives, and they're all like,
yeah.
Because, you know, through the grapevine, they heard, hey, I wasn't going to the Catholic Church and all that they loved. So, man, I had like 30 minutes to tell my story and give the gospel to them. That night, to show you, that night we're leaving, and the owner of the home was standing there, and I said to him, I said his name, and I said, what did you think about what I said? He said, too easy. That's all he said. Too easy. He had a PhD, by the way, but it was in a different field. But that was his comments. Here's a guy that's really intelligent, really gung-ho Catholic. Too easy. Just believing a promise, that can't be all there is. But that's their mindset. And that's, you know, that's why we need the Lord, and that's why they asked us to pray for them, that God would open a door, that they might speak his word boldly, because without God doing that for all of us, we need to ask God, Lord, please, you know, Holy Spirit, you know, use us as we share these words with people, because, we're not battling against flesh and blood and a local building. We're warring against principalities and powers. And so we just have to have faith in God. That, like Paul says, you know, that God will open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light. So who else has questions for John and Elise?
John, I got two questions for you. One is, do y'all see a lot of the Jehovah's Witness crowd? I've seen that exploding a lot in the local Mexican population.
Yes.
Is that something y'all are running into a lot down there? And two, where can we contact y'all, track what y'all doing, sign up for your spread, your sheet and everything? I tried Googling you and your organization, or maybe I typed it wrong or something, but I was trying to track you down while Bob was talking, but I wanted to make sure everybody knew where they could find you and sign up for your newsletter and stuff.
So the Jehovah's Witnesses are all over, and they are very active in our neighborhood. They have their Kingdom Hall, and they come by our house pretty frequently. And like our neighbor, he had like a whole, he was clearing out his house, and he had like a whole box, two boxes this big out to with Jehovah's Witness material from 1970s. But it's like he's been collecting whatever for years, so they've been coming in this neighborhood for a long time, and they don't give you much chance to say anything. It's just like knock knock, and then they just start talking, and you're just on the defense, so you have to like be quick to reply. And if you don't know your Bible well, they just keep going. And if you don't, and so it's like, so our strategy is we get we have some tracts ready for them as well. So, okay, well, if you're gonna share your thing, well, we also have something to share with you, and we ask them, or tell them, okay, well, you talk about the kingdom. We do believe in a literal kingdom too. Well, but how we get there is by believing in Jesus, and here's something for you to read, because if you're going to have...
You didn't just cast judgment. You're not going to force a belief on somebody that is not fully in the full truth and details.
Right.
You're going to offer them the truth.
Yeah.
The truth.
Yeah. And if they take it... Okay, and then the details...
We have... you can sign... I'll put this on the table up front there. We have... like prayer card magnets or prayer cards and like little sheets of paper like clean our ministry, and you can sign up. We send a monthly email newsletter, so you can just write your email here and your name, and then I'll add you to our newsletter. Yeah.
Gotcha. Do you have a website or anything?
There's a website on that paper on the...
It's a website for how to give, but we don't have like a ministry page.
Gotcha.
We have one in Spanish. Oh no, we don't have one in Spanish. We don't have a ministry page. We just do the monthly newsletter.
Yeah. Yeah. Our newsletter, we have it pasted on the window up here. I still have to work on getting them on our missionary board to add them to that. Terry might have, but anyway, we can do that. And so, all right. Well, hey, let's give John a big hand in the least. And we'll be dismissed, and then in 15 minutes, the main service will start. All right? All right, thank you so much.